Bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 185, stanzas 2 through 5. Preserve my sinking soul, I pray, from tides of hatred save. Let not the waters overflow. Redeem me from the grave. 2 through 5 of 185. scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Matthew 27, beginning at verse 57, through Matthew 28, the 8th verse. Matthew 27, 57, through Matthew 28, 8. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 27, verse 57. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre, and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. The end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Chad Outshorn, who must go into the hospital in this coming week. Also, our mission, the congregation in Bolivia, hopes tomorrow to have a congregational meeting and to elect office bearers and also to call a minister, and they have asked that we remember them also in these very important matters. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may come together in this morning hour. It is again thy holy day, a day set aside by thee even before the fall, even before death came into this world, a day of rest from all our earthly labors, set aside by thee thyself. And now in this morning, and then we are also to commemorate in this thy Sabbath day, that which thou hast done for the redemption of thy church, that thou didst not only humble thyself, but that thou in thy power also hast resurrected from the dead, that thou didst not only come in a way of humiliation, but that thou hast also gone in the way of exaltation, that thou hast not only taken away the cause of death, but that thou hast also brought in a new life. Lord, it is the hope and the expectation of thy church in all their despondency, in all their impossibility. It is what they may behold thou hast done from thy own sight, when they were not able to deliver themselves, but thy power that has been made evident on that Easter morning, when even death and hell and the grave was not able to hold thee in its power, and thou didst show thyself to be the stronger one, and that thou art the victor over all the enemy. Lord, that it may also be applied in the day that we are living, Oh, that it may be applied in each and every one of our hearts. Because we also have suffered the consequences of our deep fall. And we are lying by nature in a death, in spiritual death, and not able to deliver ourselves. Oh, Lord, we do not have that power. We are not able to remove the offense. We are not able to take away the consequences. We lie dead in trespasses and in sins. But when thou hast shown thyself to be the victor over death and hell and the grave, oh, we beseech thee, and thou almighty God, who this day sits in thy victory, who this day sits in thy power at the right hand of thy Father, oh Lord, we beseech thee, and that from thy high and holy place where thou art enthroned, where thou dost mock with the power of the enemy, that thou would also reveal thyself unto us and unto our dear children in this day. Oh, that thou which thou hast testified on the day of Easter morning may also be brought to realization in our lives. Oh, that our death wherein we have brought ourselves and may succumb to that life that thou hast brought in thyself. Oh, that we may be given, Lord, to see the light of a new day. And that we may be given light in all the darkness. That we may be given life from the dead. Oh, thou whose arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Oh, we wait all upon thee, in whose power it is to speak one word in this morning hour, and to do for each and every one of us what we cannot do for ourselves, and what we will not do either in our rebellious natural state, and when our heart and will is inclined unto this world, and when we desire to do nothing else but to follow after the prince of death and of darkness, wherein we love our state in which we have been born. O Lord, no desire, no ability, O everything that must come from thy side. It is such a free and a one-sided work of God, wherein thou wilt receive all the honor and all the glory in the life of thy church. O do it then, Lord, for the sake of thy great and thy holy name, that the power that thou hast manifested in the day of thy resurrection, that that power also may be glorified in the midst of us as a congregation, that many may be born into that new life. Oh, that it may be testified in time and to a never-ending eternity. Not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. And when men must experience that it lies not in their own power to take it of their own selves and to believe it by a self-wrought faith, but that everything from the beginning to the end is a gift of God. Oh, that thou may look then upon us, O Lord. We beseech thee from this thy dwelling place, when we are gathered together, O Lord, in thy great and in thy own holy name, wherein thou sayest, if thou wilt ask in faith, then it shall be given unto thee. Oh, we ask it of thee, Lord. Oh, we cannot believe it from our own selves, but thou hast risen from the dead. Oh, in dependence then upon thee, and we ask it of thee in this morning that thou would show it forth, that thou would stretch forth thou thy mighty arm, and that many may be taken then in this morning, that they may be spoiled for the world, that they may have to leave the paths of sin, that they may receive the burden of sorrow upon their shoulders, that they may learn to go over this world without God in the world, with a great and an unbearable sorrow, and that the cry may go out unto the true and unto the living God,
that thou may also deliver them in all their wretchedness and in all their misery. Lord, it is the only way. It is the way of free and sovereign grace. It is thy way. It is the way wherein thou wilt receive all the honor and all the glory. Oh, do it then for thy own great and holy name's sake. In a world that is gone after the ways of sin, in a church also that has received so much of the world in our heart and in our life, and that we do not deserve the least of all thy notice or attention. But Lord, it would be so to thy honor. It would glorify thy only begotten Son. It will be to the bringing in of his inheritance, to a great and a never-ending eternity. Oh, do it then, take reasons out of thyself to look upon us in mercy, young and old, who have to travel to a great eternity, each one of us having to die and to stand before thy judgment seat. Oh, Lord, look then upon us in thy mercy. Remember all thy people. Lord, they must feel something. They must experience something, more or less each one, of their great and of their great wretchedness because of sin. That is that which bows them over in, as they go over this world. Lord, as thou didst show unto them their wretchedness and their misery, O thou great prophet, that thou may also reveal thyself in this morning in the way of deliverance. And when thou didst show thyself unto thy disciples who were so downcast, and for whom everything in their life, all the religion was turned upside down, oh, who did not know it anymore, who did not know how to go forward, who now could not die, and because they missed thee, oh Lord, remember those who walk so over this world, that thou may look upon them also in this Easter morning, and that thou may give a little of that light that they, those thy disciples and thy followers may receive in that day, and a little a bit of that joy that they may experience, when thou in thy goodness and thy long-suffering, but also in thy grace and in thy mercy did show thyself. O Lord, come. O come in the days in which we live, that those that are downcast may be lifted up, and that thy children may yet speak in the poor days in which we are living. Oh, that the children and the young people may be given to hear them say, come all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. Oh, that the poverty of our day, and that it may see a little bit of joy, that it may see a little bit of that true light, the true work of God to come into the foreground. Oh, look then upon us as a congregation, that the work of thy Spirit may be evident, that it may be manifest. Lord, that it may go from heart to heart, and that thou may dwell amongst us as a people in mercy. Oh, do look upon all the afflicted and all those that mourn, also in a natural way in this day. Those that do not expect ever to see in this life again their loved ones. And Lord, then we cannot expect that they will rise again from the grave, except that it will be on that last day. Oh, that we may be given then to be prepared, and that we may miss thee more than we miss our loved ones and our flesh in this world, and that those that mourn may be supported and supplied by thee in all their sorrows. Look upon all the afflicted and the sick ones and all that are not able to be with us in this day. May thou remember them young and old in their places in this morning, and wilt thou give strength and health again. And wilt thou be also with the young child who must go again into the hospital? Lord, thou makest it thus far well with him, And wilt thou continue to bless the efforts that are used for his recovery? And may thou bless and sanctify these ways to him and to his family and to each and every one of us. And wilt thou look upon the church also over the length and the breadth of the whole world? And thou knowest those who have asked to be remembered before thee in the meeting that they must have in the day of tomorrow. Lord, that thou may so supply for them and the needs that are in the midst of them as a young congregation. And that thou may raise up men among them, but that thou may also raise up servants that may go forth to them and to the other vacant congregations in the midst of us also. Lord, when that need is so very, very great, oh, that thou may look upon us in mercy and also our own school. Because, Lord, thou knowest the circumstances wherein we have come, wherein there are insufficient teachers to continue next year. And, Lord, thou knowest and thou hast supplied for us. Oh, thou hast given it, O Lord, in the years that have gone by. When everything has seemed so dark and so impossible. And now, Lord, thou knowest that what we must plan, and that some also will not be able to come. O Lord, remember in mercy. Could it please thee to make a way? Could it please thee to incline the hearts of the government to allow the teachers to stay? Could it please thee to incline hearts also to come over and to help us? And may thou look upon us in thy mercy and give us all to gather as congregations to bow our knees before thee. Oh, that we might find ourselves at the throne of grace for the sake of our own school and for the sake of our children. Wilt thou take away all the discontentment? And wilt thou give a binding to gather at the throne of grace for the welfare of our youth and of our children, and strengthen all that must make difficult decisions? Lord, that thou would go before us in this day. Oh, help us to bring thy word. And wilt thou give us freedom and liberty? Give us understanding. Give us wisdom. Thou dost say, if that we lack wisdom, we should ask it of thee. Lord, remember us then and fill us with thy Holy Spirit, that thou may feed thy own people, and that thou may show thyself to be in the midst of us and to bless us undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 77, stanzas 2 through 5. His holy name remember, ye saints, Jehovah praise. His anger lasts a moment, his favor all our days. For sorrow, like a pilgrim, may tarry for a night, but joy the heart will gladden when dawns the morning light. The last collection today is for our disaster fund, Psalter 77, stanzas 2 through 5. Congregation, we may sing together at the experience of God's servant David so many years ago. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That was already his experience. That was the experience of the disciples of the Lord Jesus, the third day after his heart-rending crucifixion. And that is also the experience of that true church of God, even unto the end of the world. And we wish with the Lord's help to consider this together in this morning hour, out of the words of our text, which you can find in the portion that was read to you, Matthew 28, and thereof the second verse. Matthew 28, verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. So far, the words of our text. The removal of the stone from the door of the sepulchre. First, unexpected by the disciples of Jesus. Second, resisted by the rulers of the Jews. Third, accomplished by the angel of the Lord. And after we sing, rejoiced over by the returning women. The removal of the stone from the door of the sepulchre. First, unexpected by the disciples of Jesus. Second, resisted by the rulers of the Jews. Third, accomplished by the angel of the Lord. Fourth, rejoiced over by the returning women. We read, congregation, of this stone a number of times in the history of the burial and of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is now the first time that we read of this, that is in the previous chapter, in chapter 27. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. This grave, we read, was hewn out of a rock. There were several types of graves that were used in the Orient at that time, some similar to the graves that we have today, but also often those that were, as we read here, hewn out of a rock. Thus, some graves were those that a person could actually enter into. And then there had to be an entrance, of course. This entrance door to that grave was small. That is, it was a door, we read, that the disciples had to stoop down in order to enter into. On the other hand, it was still an entrance that was able to fit a human being, a person, an adult. And therefore, it was a very large, it was a very great stone, we read, that was placed over this opening, a great stone, Matthew says, and Mark says that this stone that was very great. What was the purpose of this stone? Well, in a very practical way, children, then you can understand that that stone, and that was to keep out the predators, that was to keep out the animals, and that they would not devour the dead bodies. Thus, that stone had a very practical purpose. But that stone also meant something. That stone, when that is placed in front of that sepulcher, that has also a greater signification. In the first place, that stone that shows us something of the separation that is experienced by mankind in death. Thus, that this person that is being buried, and when this stone that is being placed in front of this sepulcher so that no man is able to enter into that sepulcher, and then it is that there is no more communion with the dead. This stone that shows us, that points to something of the great finality of death. That is the very last act that takes place in a funeral. And that the stone that is placed at the entrance of the door of this cave, as it were. And then all of the relatives and friends, they go away. That is similar to us. When that casket that is closed and the lid that is placed on that death box, and that soil that is covering over that grave again, that is now the last act in that ceremony of death. Then there is no expectation that we shall uncover this body again. And so that was also with that stone. When that stone was placed on that sepulcher, then it was as if this was now that final act. There is also a third thing, and that has to do with the preservation of the dead. Thus, it has to do with the belief in the resurrection from the dead. That body that ought not simply to be permitted to be decaying not only, or to be devoured by the wild animals, because one day also this body will rise from the dead. We read about the sister of Lazarus when he lay in the grave, that she believed. She said, "I know that he shall rise again in the last day." And the disciples of the Lord Jesus also believed in the resurrection of the dead and also of him, because we read that they preserved also his body, placing it in this sepulcher and anointing this body with spices. But even as Martha did not believe any more than this, that he would rise again in the last day, so also the disciples did not believe any more than this, that Christ also would rise again in that last day. And therefore, they are so cast down. And when that church is cast down, then Satan, who is so cruel, Satan is also so busy to cast that church down and to bring that church also into the ways of sin. Really, there was no reason for these disciples to be in anguish. There was no reason for these disciples to be so sad in these days. Yes, of course, the Lord Jesus had to suffer much in his body. And for this reason, they may be sorrowful. But the Lord Jesus has also spoken about this death, but not only of his death, but the Lord Jesus has also spoken about his resurrection. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. And what do we read of the disciples when the Lord Jesus has spoken thus to them? Then we read, and they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. Thus, their sorrow is a sorrow due to two things. First, to ignorance, that they did not understand, but secondly, also to unbelief, that when they did not understand what the Lord Jesus was saying, they also could not receive the simple word of Christ out of his mouth to believe it. Thus, these disciples, they had in these days not faith, even as the Lord Jesus said, as a grain of mustard seed, wherewith this great mountain of sorrow which they bore in their heart could easily have been removed. And he rolled the great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. That is the final cutting off of all of the hope and the expectation of the disciples of the Lord. Thought, as we read afterwards, that it was he that should have redeemed Israel. Peter says, thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of the living God. In him all their expectation. They have watched even unto the last moment in his life, perhaps expecting, as he has worked so many miracles in his life, perhaps expecting even that he would, in the last moment, work some miracle to come to his own aid. And he has not. And death has come. And he has been laid in the grave. And now that great stone that has been laid at that door of that sepulchre. Thus you understand it is for them now final. It is for them now finished. Who were they? They were a people that had received so much instruction out of the mouth of the Lord. That was a people, if they may look back in the past few years, that was a people who have rejoiced in the word of the Lord. They may be instructed by him. They may have such blessed times with the Lord Jesus in these years, such close times when they may walk together with him, when they may unburden their heart to him, when he may teach them, when they may only listen to him. And in their expectation that was to increase continually, that is, that they will go now from strength to strength unto Zion. And never did they think that the day was going to come when Christ would be laid in the grave, and when there would be a great stone laid at the mouth of this sepulcher, and that everything is cut off. Man, congregation, wants to be saved without death. Without death. The disciples understood something of the prophetical office of Christ. They may experience this office as Christ taught them in these past 3 years. They may be instructed by him. When we consider the kingly office of Christ, then the disciples have also had a desire to walk in his ways. They are looking forward to the time that he shall manifest his kingdom. Thus, something of the prophetical office of the Lord Jesus, of the kingly office of the Lord Jesus that was experienced, that was known in the life of these disciples. But it is the priestly office of Christ that is so hidden to them. So hidden. They have with their own hands brought the offerings unto the temple. They have heard with their own ears John the Baptist when he has cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Thus, yes, in their mind, then they know something of the priestly office of the Lord Jesus, but in their heart they have never experienced anything of this priestly office. And this is not strange in the life of God's true church. Because the priestly office that includes a way of dying, and that way of dying that is to them not only unknown, but that way of dying that is also to them so greatly resisted. But that way of dying is the way of the Lord. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. That means it goes even further. That is our second thought, the removal of this stone resisted by the rulers of the Jews. Thus, that stone that is not only put there, it is not only set there, but that stone is also sealed. That is, in some way, it is marked. That has the mark of the governor, that is for prevention and perhaps detection of anyone that will meddle with this stone. That is all under the overruling providence of the Lord himself, because the Lord Jesus is going to receive a great honor. He is going to be buried, we read, with the rich in his death. And the Lord Jesus is going to have the mark even of the earthly governor upon his grave. The Lord Jesus is going to have a sentry watch standing at his grave. That is also for the greater confirmation of the resurrection of Christ. How? Well, the grave that is hewn in a rock, there is no access unto this grave but one, that is this hole, this door. And this door, this hole, this entrance that is now sealed off, it is a great rock and a seal placed upon that rock and a guard that is placed by this sealed rock. Thus the Lord is taking care for the sake of His church that it will be known throughout the church of all ages, even unto the end of the world, that there will be no fraud that is involved in the resurrection of Christ. We may know it even by the actions of the enemies, that indeed He is risen from the dead according unto the Scriptures. But we see what is wrought in the heart of that enemy. Because why is it that that enemy goes to seal that stone? Well, there is in the first place great enmity, but there is also in their hearts fear. Christ is despised, He is hated by them, but the enemy also has no rest. That enemy has no peace with the actions which they have committed and which they have caused to be committed. That enemy knows what the Lord Jesus has spoken in His life, that He has spoken also of the rising from the dead. We hear them say this unto Pilate. That enemy has been a witness also of the great miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ in His life, also of the resurrection from the dead. Never has that enemy, to the great disappointment, never has that enemy heard one word that Christ has spoken in prophecy that He has not brought unto fulfillment. No, there is no guard necessary at the grave of the Lord Jesus Christ because of His weak and His helpless disciples. But secretly, there is a fear in the heart of this enemy. Thus, that which would be to the greatest joy of the church, that will be to the greatest fear and consternation of the enemy. They have received what they asked for. That the Lord Jesus may be crucified. But there is no peace for the wicked. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. The devil, in so many ways, has tried to prevent the salvation of God's church. That is, from His birth even unto His death. There is a perpetual enmity lying in the heart of this enemy. And the devil is also the instigator of his instruments in this world, that he is placing such a superstitious fear in the heart of the enemy. Poor mankind that is lying under that reign of Satan, that is fighting against the Son of God. Never, never will he be victorious. We see that in our third thought. The removal of the stone accomplished by the angel of the Lord. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. All the might of the devil, and he is mighty, all the ingenuity of the instruments of Satan are not able to stand against the power of the Almighty God. We can understand what is the thought of the disciples. The thought of the disciples is that that enemy, he has now indeed received the victory. Because indeed Christ, the Messiah, he is lying in the grave. Oh, how often is that not the case in the life of the church, even unto the end of the world? That they, because of all the circumstances which they can see with their eyes, which they can hear with their ears, which they feel in their heart, because of the reality of their life, then it is to them evident that indeed Satan has the victory. Is that possible? That is impossible. But that does not mean that there are not many times in the life of that people that indeed they do believe it to be so. But there is so much that happens in the counsel of the Lord that is unknown to his people. Because it is in the still hours of this morning that in the court of heaven a command goes forth. It is not the command of a weak man. It is not the command of a weak soldier, weak human ruler in the world. No, it is the command of the Almighty God. It is the command of the Father, who is commanding his heavenly host, who is commanding his angels. And those angels are commanded to go forth from their holy dwelling onto this earth. And in the early dawn of this Sunday morning, to remove this sealed stone from the door of this sepulchre. Thus we read of the angel that he rolled back the stone from the door. That which man did not expect, that which the enemy has so tried to resist, that has taken place with one word of the command of the Lord. And then all men, all devils, all hell is not able to resist the command of God. And we read of that angel, when that angel is rolling back that stone from the door, that he is also sitting upon it, and he sat upon it. Thus, it is a representative from heaven itself that is sitting himself upon this stone that he has rolled back from this door of the sepulchre. That he is seated upon this door, we would say, of the prison of death. And he sat upon it. What is it? It is a proclamation of victory. Oh, what did they do in those times when there was victory in that battle? And then they would place their feet upon the necks of their enemies. And so that angel, he is rolling back that stone, and he is sitting upon that stone as the victory of the force of heaven Thus it is a proclamation of the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. Already 4,000 years ago, when the Lord has said unto Satan himself that the son of that woman, the seed of that woman, shall bruise your head. So that Satan, who is that prince of death, he cannot overcome the son of life. And rolled back the door and sat upon it. It is a testimony of the faithfulness of the Father. What he has declared already in that council of peace from that never begun eternity. It is a testimony of the fulfillment of every jot and of every tittle of what was necessary for the complete salvation of the church of God. And then death is not able to hold Christ anymore. Why not? Because justice. Because the justice of God has been satisfied. Death, the wages of sin, but life, the reward for obedience. And now the Son of God, taken upon himself the entire iniquity and transgression of his church, and completely paid this price in his great humiliation, but also fulfilling that whole law of God, so that there is not one that can say unto him that he has sinned. Thus the justice of God does not suffer the Son of God to remain in the grave, and death cannot have dominion over him, but he must receive the reward of obedience that is life itself. And rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. It is the Amen of the Father upon the mediatorial work of his only begotten Son. He himself has sent his angel from heaven unto the earth to roll back this stone from the door. He himself has testified that his justice that is now completely satisfied in the resurrection of his only begotten Son and sat upon it. It is the stamp of the approval of the Father of the Son, and rolled back the door, the stone from the door, and sat upon it. Oh, that is now the rejoicing, the cause for the rejoicing of the true church of God, a rejoicing that did begin in these moments, in this Sabbath day morning, a rejoicing over death. Let us sing Psalter 427, the fifth verse, the stone the builders had rejected and in contempt refused to own, to their dismay has been selected to be the foremost cornerstone. And what follows in the fifth stanza of 427. congregation there were also women in that Sabbath morn who have spoken together about this stone. They had not thought about it when they were at home. Otherwise, they had never left their home. It is remarkable when we read that they were sitting over against the sepulchre, and they have seen this great stone put in its place, that they have gone to their home and that they have prepared spices for the anointing of the body of the Lord Jesus. And then it seems that this great stone that they have seen with their own eyes placed before this door, that this great stone that is because of the love of their heart, that is because of the sorrow of their heart, that is not coming into their mind. But they are preparing their spices, and then they are leaving their home. And Mark writes how that when they are now on their way, that their thoughts are going back again unto this stone. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" Thus that stone that becomes to them in those moments such a great obstacle. An obstacle that they know in their womanly strength or weakness they are not able to overcome. Not only so, but had they known that stone that was sealed with the governor's seal, had they known that there was a sentry from the governor standing around that grave, then we would say those women, they would not have taken one step further to accomplish what their purpose was. But much of this is so hidden for them. And now the weight of the impossibility of removing this stone that is coming upon them as they are approaching this sepulchre. We do not read that they turn away. No, we read that they continue. There is in their hearts such a great love. There is in their hearts such a great sorrow that these women, they continue onward with their spices unto this grave. Only to find out, when they come to this grave, that the Lord has taken away for them all the obstacles. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Thus we have heard already about the actual rolling away of this stone. But this is no more the deed, the event of salvation. But now what is it? Now it is the experience. Now the fact that this stone is rolled away is experienced in the life of these women. And the evangelists write of this experience in the life of the church here in the Gospels. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. On Easter morning, death gives way to life. Death gives way to life. That is, by the power of the Son of God, who raised himself from the dead. It is by the power of his Father, who we also read, raised Christ from the dead. But death also must give way to life, not only in the events of salvation, but death must give way to life also in the experience in the heart of God's true church. And there is so much that happens in that soul when death, by the grace of the Lord, is giving way unto life. Can understand a little in a natural way what that was for these women. So those things are also experienced in the soul of the church. On the one side, they cannot believe it. They cannot believe it. So we see that faith is a gift of God. What does Mary do? When they are approaching, and then she only sees, all of a sudden she sees that stone. That stone is not there on the grave. What does she believe? Does she believe that he is risen from the dead? Not at all. What does she believe? She believes that again the enemy has had the upper hand. No, to believe that he is risen from the dead, that is much too great for her. That does not even come into her mind. No, they have stolen away the Lord out of the sepulchre. Oh, she does not even go further. No, she turns around immediately and she runs back to tell the disciples that the enemy has been there and they have stolen the body of the Lord Jesus. Oh, when death gives way to life in the soul of that church of God, then there is so much that is taking place in that soul. What does Jacob say? When his sons, they come to the home and they say, Joseph is yet alive. Or can he believe it? We read his soul fainted in him. It is too good to be true. Oh, there is something of an unbelief of this great message. Do not deceive me. Thus we see Mary. Then we see these other women. Thus we see another side. Then we see these women. They are approaching unto this grave. And then, they meet the angels. They receive also a message of the angels that the Lord Jesus is not there. They see there is an empty grave. And now being eyewitnesses, oh, then they cannot but believe that word that they have heard. Oh, then they have to believe it. And then what do we read? They depart quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and run to bring the disciples' word. Oh, what does the psalmist say when the Lord turns the captivity of Zion? He says, oh, then we were like those that dream. Like those that dream. Oh, that they cannot believe the truth of the greatness of that message. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. In the experience of Easter, within the soul of the church, there is a great stone that is rolled away from an eternal sepulchre. On Good Friday, the church observes, the church sees this great stone placed upon this door of the sepulchre. Oh, then they may be witnesses that death is sealed. It is finished. On Good Friday. Oh, then before the judge comes all their sin. And then justice has to be satisfied. Oh, that stone that is set there. Impossible. Impossible. Can never be made right again. But I have to go lost forever and forever. Easter, that follows in the life of God's children, generally quickly after Good Friday. And what is taking place there? Oh, in Easter, when that people were condemned by the righteous judgment of God on Good Friday, on Easter, the judge is speaking. And on Easter, then that people may hear out of the mouth of that judge, deliver him. Deliver him from what? Deliver him from going down into the pit. For I have found a ransom. Oh, then that great stone that was placed upon that sepulchre by their own sin. And that meant that it was impossible to be saved. Then that great stone is by the mouth of the Most High God, is by the mouth of the Heavenly Judge, removed from the door of that sepulchre. And what happens to the people? Then the people go free. Free. They go free in the Son of God. They receive life. They receive life from the dead in the life that the Son of God has received from the dead on that Easter morn. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. This is a great surprise in the life of God's church. This is what that people never expected again in their life, to be delivered from that eternal pit that they thought was forever and forever their portion, but then to see that the stone is rolled away. How? Not from their side, but that stone that has been rolled away from the side of God, a stone that they could not remove in their own strength, but a stone that was removed by the power of God Himself. A stone that is removed in the fulfillment of the justice of God. That stone has to be taken out of the way. Why? Not because of their own fulfillment, but only because of the fulfillment of that only begotten Son of God. And when they looked, and then the Lord gives them eyes to see. And when they looked, they saw that that stone was rolled away. Oh, Easter. What is this? Easter. It is the application of Christ to the soul of his church. It is not the revelation, but it is the application. That means it is the complete justification of the church received in their soul. It is the forgiveness of the sins of this people. And that stone that is so completely rolled away, that that pit that is opened, and they are delivered from that pit, so that people cannot see in that moment, cannot see a single sin of their whole life. Cast into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness behind the back of God. Oh, what does Bunyan say when he came up to that cross, and when he may see, and when Christ may be applied to his soul, oh, then that burden of the guilt of his sin that fell off from his back and it went down into that sepulcher of Christ. And he says, he saw it no more. The guilt, not the pollution, the guilt of sin before the judge forever and forever removed from the true church of God. O congregation, what can we desire? What can we seek after in this life? More than this, where can you find for yourself a greater blessing? Where can you find for yourself a greater benefit in this world than to know that all my sin that is forgiven me? And when this burden of that guilt of sin, may be taken away, and that I may receive life from the dead, and that life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it is a way that is no easy way. It is a way that is going through death, but it is a way that is leading unto life. And this is eternal life, that we might know thee, and Jesus Christ, thy Son, whom thou hast sent. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, what a morning in the life of thy church. Oh, that thou may apply it also to us and to our children, that we also may be given to know, to seek after this knowledge, that our sin may be forgiven us, that we may receive life from the dead, that thy children may rejoice in the life of thy Son, and how thou sayest, because I live, ye shall live also. Remember us further in this day, us in the other part of our congregation, and those that must lead in this afternoon. Keep us from all sin. Bless thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 427, stanzas 3 and 4. The Lord's right hand is high exalted. Jehovah's strong and mighty hand. The vaunting enemy he halted, and made his chosen ones to stand. 3 and 4 of 427. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.